Hello, my name is Rob Bennett. I'm the author of a book entitled Passion Saving, The Path to Plentiful Free Time and Soul-Satisfying Work. I'm also the publisher of the PassionSaving.com website, and I'm working on a second book entitled Investing for Humans, How to Get What Works on Paper to Work in Real Life. This is podcast number 70. Holy smokes. Podcast number 70. And I'm recording it on Saturday, July 3rd, 2009. The PE10 level today is 15. That means that stocks purchased at today's prices offer a strong long-term value proposition. The title of this podcast is Reversion to the Mean. We are in danger of losing sight of all that Bogle got right. There's been a lot going on in Investo world in the, I don't know, the past week. It's been crazy since Christmas. The big event, which really is nothing short of an earth-shaking event, is that Taylor Larimore, co-author of The Boglehead's Guide to Investing, has given up on the passive investing concept. I've been arguing for 7 years that passive investing does not work, passive investing cannot work. And we've had, you know, large numbers of all the board communities very, very interested in learning the realities of investing. We've had a small group of highly abusive posters, including Taylor. Taylor's not the most abusive by far, but he's supportive of a number of the abusive posters. And they've been saying, no, passive investing works. Passive investing works. And Taylor has now acknowledged publicly that passive investing does not work. He did not say it in those words. He did not say, listen up, people. Passive investing does not work. It's not the way he said it, but it's implicit in his words. And I don't think I have the post title. It's a long thread at the bogleheads.org board, and I'll be doing a separate podcast on that thread. So I'll give the exact title on that. Maybe I can look it up, but I'll give the exact title when I get to that podcast. But what Taylor has said is, Taylor's been posting either at the Vanguard Diehards board or the Bogleheads.org board for probably 10 years now. And he's written an entire book on passive investing. He's dogmatic about this. And passive investing, of course, is the idea that you don't change your stock allocation, but intrinsic to it is that you don't change your stock allocation. And Taylor is now saying you do. Taylor is now saying that if stocks drop farther, he intends to sell all of his stocks, go to a zero stock allocation. Taylor Larimore is a market timer. That's the reality. As hard to believe as that is, and it's hard for a lot of people to believe. There's a long, long thread where people are giving all sorts of opinions. The good news is, the owners of that board, Bogleheads.org, are not banning honest posting on this thread. They are permitting people to express their sincere views. Many posters are posting in support of the leaders of the board, who in theory still support passive investing, but in reality do not, many people are pointing out the contradictions in Taylor's position, that Taylor has for many years now advocated passive investing. He is now advocating selling all of your stocks when prices drop. The title of the threads I have here, that the thread started Monday, December 29th. The first post was put forward by Taylor Larimore, and the title is Maximum Tolerable Loss, Not Just a Fear Factor. This particular podcast is not about that thread, but I'm just setting the stage. But I will be doing a separate podcast on that long thread. So the news is that Taylor Larimore has abandoned his belief in passive investing, although he personally is not willing to acknowledge that in so many words. But his recommendation that investors, he calls it Plan B. He says that all along he's had a Plan B. He's been advocating passive investing for 10 years, but now that we've seen it doesn't work in the real world, he's saying, I always knew it wouldn't work, and I always had a Plan B. I always planned to bail out of stocks at the worst possible time for doing so, when prices are at their lowest. There's one guy on the board who has called this buy, hold, and bail. Buy, hold, and bail. In other words, buy stocks at insanely high prices, hold them. Don't even give thought to what the historical data says, that you must lower your stock allocation when prices are at insane levels. Ignore the historical data. Hold. Don't change your allocation. And then, only after the inevitable price crash, then sell everything. Sell everything at a low. So buy at the highest prices imaginable, sell at the lowest prices imaginable. I think it would be fair to say if there was some evil genius somewhere trying to concoct the worst investing strategy conceivable, this is what he would have come up with. Buy, hold, and bail is the worst investing strategy the human mind could imagine. Taylor Larimore now advocates that, the co-author of The Boglehead's Guide to Investing. Now, Taylor, obviously, he didn't intend to concoct the worst investing strategy imaginable. That was not his intent. And I don't believe that today he even understands that that's what he's concocted. If you read the thread, draw your own conclusions. Read the thread. Read the people saying Taylor Larimore is on the right track. Read the people saying Taylor Larimore is on the wrong track. And decide for yourself. That's what you need to do. I'm going to give you my point of view. And I don't actually think Taylor Larimore is so terribly wrong. I think he's wrong. He's certainly not engaging in rational investing, but I think a lot of the people who are still sticking with passive investing, and many of the people on that board are, will probably be reaching the point Taylor has reached today. They will be acknowledging at some future date that passive investing does not work in the real world, and they will be bailing out. And by bailing out early, by acknowledging his mistake, Taylor may save himself a lot of pain and a lot of misery and a lot of money. So I don't think Taylor is so wrong in what he's doing, but I do think it's a shocking development. It's something that I didn't expect to see anytime soon. I was shocked and amazed, and many others were shocked and amazed. The problem, of course, is that passive investing cannot work. Passive investing is the idea that you stick with the same stock allocation regardless of price levels. Even when prices reach insanely high levels, as they did in 1995, you don't lower your stock allocation. You stick with the same stock allocation you had when prices were at reasonable levels. So you allow your risk level to rise to a many multiples higher than you had intended it to be. If the market price goes crazy enough that your risk level is now five times what you had intended to be, you don't do anything to change that. You just say, I won't stay the course, as Bogle advises. I'll let myself go wildly off course. I don't care. I'm passive, which, of course, Bogle also endorses. Bogle endorses both stay the course investing, which is rational investing, and passive investing, which is emotional investing. He endorses both. All right. This discussion has spread to other boards. I'm, of course, doing podcasts about it here at PassionSaving.com. I've been participating in threads at the Goon Central Board. They're discussing it over at the Income and Dividend Board. They're discussing it at the Vanguard Diehards board. There have been split-off threads, probably three or four or five split-off threads at bogleheads.org. That, you know, Taylor has put forward, you know, an earth-shaking post. And Taylor, frankly, is arguing that Bogle endorses this idea of buy, hold, and bail. Taylor has quoted some words from Bogle indicating that Bogle advocates buy, hold, and bail. So it's not necessarily just Taylor Larimore doing this. And, of course, we saw Bill Bangin. Bill Bangin is the author of one of the old school safe withdrawal rate studies. He advocates buy, hold, and bail. Bill Bangin, I had some of his, you know, I corresponded with him and put some of his emails up at my website. I think one or two from Bill, and then one or two from me back to him. And Bill has taken his clients 100% out of stocks, just as Taylor is saying he may do in days to come. 100% out. He had his clients in stocks when prices were insanely high. When prices dropped, took them out. Bill, I believe, took them out before. Well, not before the price crash, but when stocks were down about one third. So he avoided the worst part of the price crash, whereas Taylor waited till the end of the price crash to begin thinking about bailing out of stocks. But all of this is a sign that passive investing is finished. As an investing strategy of the future, it does not work in the real world. As rational investors who look to the historical data to learn how stock investing works in the real world, have known for many years now. All of those, you know, who have followed the historical data knew that a price crash was coming that would be so devastating there would be no hope of middle class investors being able to stick with their stock allocations as prices continue downward. And that's the situation we're living through today. Now, the focus of this particular podcast is a comment made at the Diehards board by a woman named Barefoot Jan. And Barefoot Jan, she's sort of a woman after my own heart. She had a couple posts up there that I liked. I go by people's spirit. It's not a big deal to me whether, I don't think Barefoot Jan agrees with my investing views at all. But she had a comment there where she said, I'm trying to figure this out. You know, she's like, I think people are upset because they're saying Taylor Larimore is somebody they look up to. And it's just blowing their minds what he's saying. And Bogle is someone they look up to. And Taylor is saying that Bogle agrees with this. And Taylor, in fairness, put forward some quotes from Bogle indicating that Bogle does indeed endorse buy, hold, and bail. I don't recall the exact words, but Bogle, I think, was asked on a radio interview something like, you know, what should you do if you just can't afford to lose anymore? And Bogle said, if you can't afford to lose anymore, you need to take all your money out of stocks. So that's buy, hold, and bail. And, you know, people are amazed. There's a guy there. I shouldn't go on and on about that thread because we'll do a separate podcast on that thread. But there's a guy there, Daryl, who asked Taylor just, I think, 6 months ago, Taylor, would you ever bail on stocks? You know, would things ever get so bad? And Taylor said, absolutely not. Absolutely not. It's against everything I believe in. It's against everything John Bogle believes in. You have to stick with it. You have to stick with it through the hard times. Now Taylor is saying, oh, yes, I would bail, and John Bogle would bail, and it's always been my plan to bail. From the very beginning, I didn't mention it in my book because people weren't panicking at that time. So I didn't think it was appropriate to mention that we would have to bail at a later time. But now that many investors are panicking, I think it makes sense to let them know that it was always my intention to panic. That's always been part of this passive investing model. Now, I don't believe that that is true. I think it's just, beyond belief. This story is totally beyond belief. It has never been the intent of passive investing that investors bail at the lowest price. That's absurd. The problem, of course, is that passive investing ignores valuations, ignores the need to change your allocation at times of insanely high prices, and the result is the investors who follow this model end up with absurdly, sickly, irresponsibly high stock allocations at times of insane prices. And so, of course, they need to bail because the losses they suffer are just devastating. Completely unnecessary. None of this is necessary. None of this has anything to do with stocks or the riskiness of stocks or you can't predict the future or any of this sort of thing. It has to do with irresponsible emotional investing. Passive investing is irresponsible emotional investing, non-rational. It's a denial of the ABCs of investing, that you must always consider valuations. You must always be sure to time the market. You must always adjust your allocation in response to dramatic price changes. It's the only hope for the long-term investor. So what's going on is that Bogle and Taylor Larimore and you know, thousands of others have come up with a wonderful investing approach. I call it rational investing. It's investing based on the historical data, based on how stocks have always performed in the past. But they made one big mistake. They failed to include a requirement that investors change their stock allocations in response to dramatic price changes. And that one mistake poisoned the whole thing. So we have this strange situation where the smartest strategy out there is rational investing, but it's been popularized as passive investing, which is the opposite. It's the opposite of rational investing in every way. So the most popular strategy is the worst strategy of all. But if only that one mistake were corrected, we could turn it into the best strategy of all. But the problem is that the people who have advocated it, they've influenced millions of investors. They've caused millions of busted retirements, great human misery, the greatest loss of middle-class wealth in the history of the United States. And they are now facing a very painful situation of, do they admit that they made a mistake, or do they just continue to ignore the academic research of the past 30 years, which shows beyond any doubt whatsoever that valuations affect long-term returns, that the efficient market theory is in fact false. So Barefoot Jan, she's just a normal person posting on a discussion board, much like Rob Bennett, much like John Walter Russell, much like so many others, trying to make sense of all this. This is where I was in May of 2002. I noticed that people were saying the safe withdrawal rate was always the same number, and I was saying, wait a minute, that doesn't jive with what John Bogle says. John Bogle says valuations affect long-term returns. John Bogle says stock prices revert to the mean. How could it be? How could it be that the safe withdrawal rate is always the same number? Explain this. And that's how the great safe withdrawal rate debate got started. We had a long discussion. We've had a discussion going on almost 7 years now on that question. Hundreds of thousands of posts at probably a dozen different discussion boards, blogs. And every sliver of evidence has indicated that Bogle is right, Bernstein is right, Scott Burns is right, Cliff S. Ness is right, Rob Arnott is right, John Walter Russell is right. Valuations do indeed affect long-term returns. But the passive investing dogmatist cannot accept this reality, because it means acknowledging a mistake. We're dealing with not an intellectual problem, we're dealing with an emotional human problem. How do humans learn to admit mistakes when their mistakes are costing people their retirements, threatening to put the U.S. economy in a depression? There are serious people today saying that's a real possibility. So Barefoot Jan is trying to make sense out of it. And what she said that just drew me to her is she said, as I say, she's not agreeing with my investing views, not by any stretch. But she's saying, I hope you all won't find this annoying, but she said, I'm like a dog with a bone. She said, people in my family, when they want something researched, you know, until they get to the bottom of it, they'll just sort of mention in my hearing that they'd like to know the answer to such and such a question. And they know if I pick it up, I'm going to be like a dog with a bone and I'm not going to let go until I figure it out. Well, that is the spirit that we need on our discussion boards. That's the Rob Bennett spirit. I'm just a guy who read John Bogle's book and said, wait a minute, these old school safe withdrawal rate studies can't be right. Not if John Bogle's right. And I trust John Bogle. I've read his book. It all makes sense. I looked at the historical data. The historical data backs them up all down the line. So please explain to me why these old school studies don't include an adjustment for valuations. And I'm like a dog with a bone. People say, Hocus or Rob, can you just stop this? You know, we all loved you when you posted about saving, and now you post about you know, Bogle being right about valuations, and everybody hates you, and we're going to kill you. We're going to ban you. We're going to destroy any discussion board that allows you to post, because we can't accept this. We can't hear the realities of stock investing. It makes our tummies hurt. And like Barefoot Chan, my attitude is, I want to know. I want to know the answer, and I want my fellow community members to know the answer as well. I want to share what I learn with my fellow community members. So that's where things stand. Now, a quote from Barefoot Jan, and it's a short quote, but it'll tell you what the issue is on the table in podcast number 70. Quote, Barefoot Jan at the Vanguard Diehards Board. I'm going to try to get more into this market timing thing myself. I think that's good. She's opening her mind to something that her mind was closed to before. I'm going to try to get more into this market timing thing myself, at least as far as listening for ways that I would previously have ignored as noise. I think that's what it says. Listening for warnings that I would previously have ignored as noise. Feel free to pass along anything you hear, please. I need all the help I can get. Well, I hope that Barefoot Jen listens to this podcast. I hope if someone out there knows her, they will point her to it, because I'm trying to give her the help that she needs. Seriously, though, this is another post, but in the same thread. Seriously, though, despite what I said earlier, I don't believe you can ever predict what the market is going to do next. I think the main reason to protect yourself now is because the economy is a mess. I can understand protecting assets due to economic conditions, absolutely. But I doubt I'd be able to do it based on predictions about the market. I just don't think you can really do that. Even the warnings only tell you what. They don't tell you when. She is saying, Barefoot Jan is saying so much in those comments. She's hitting on so many important points. First of all, she's opening up her mind to market timing. That's the key. I go to the Goon Central Board every day. I post there almost daily. And, you know, the whole board was set up to ridicule me, to mock me. And a lot of people think I'm out of my mind. You know, why would you go to a board to mock you? Well, the people who mock me there, first of all, some of them are my friends. They're my friends from, you know, the days before the Great Safe Withdrawal Rate debate. We were good friends. We all worked together to build what was at one time the greatest discussion board in the history of on planet Internet, the Retire Early Board at Motley Fool. So that's one reason. A second reason is I like to have my views challenged. I'm putting forward some very controversial claims about how investing works, very bold claims, saying that John Bogle got it wrong, Bill Bernstein got it wrong, Scott Burns got it wrong, Jonathan Clements got it wrong. I think I have an obligation to be sure that I've got it right. And I don't have the ability to know all the holes in my own arguments. No one does. But I can count on the goon posters at Goon Central to find any holes and to exaggerate them, you know, put them under a magnifying glass and make them 1,000 times bigger than they really are. And if there's something I put forward that's wrong, they're going to tell me about it. So it helps me to learn. It helps me to, you know, find the weak points in my arguments. It helps me to find the strong points in the passive investing arguments and to find out what the passive investing dogmatists are thinking, where they're coming from. I want to know how their minds work, because my job is to persuade them that passive investing can never work. And to do an effective job, I need to know, why do they think these things? Why do they think that valuations don't matter? Why do they think it's not necessary to change your allocation when prices go to insanely high levels? And there was a post there that, you know, a lot of, most of the posts there are just complete trash. You know, I refer to the board as the stink hole of the internet. It's a trash board. You know, it's beyond human comprehension, really. It's degrading to not only to participate, it's degrading to look at it. It's degrading to know that it exists, that there are other human beings in the world that would create such trash. So on one level, you know, I hate having anything to do with it, but this board has had a great influence on the retire early community and on the indexing community. They've managed to work their will. They've gotten honest posting banned at all of our boards, so they have influence, so I think we need to learn where they're coming from. And of course, the reality is that we all have a little bit of goon within us. And so understanding the goon side of things is part of the job, in my opinion. So I do post there. I do check out what they say. And there's a guy, Drip Guy. He's probably the most angry of the posters there today. And Drip Guy, had a post. This was a couple months ago. I don't know. It might have been 4 or 5 months ago. I'm not sure. You know, but not real long ago. And he said he was sort of an exact. You could. I believe this post was sincere. He was exasperated. You get the sense he wants to come up with some sort of deal. You know, where I would be allowed to go back on the boards, but I would have to agree never to post honestly on safe withdrawal rates. And I've said a million times I'm never going to do it, but. There seems to be some sort of desire to work something out, and I get the feeling they're trying to send feelers to me, and I don't have a clue what the feelers are supposed to mean, because I just always answer the same way, and I've been doing that for 7 years. And you know, if they allow honest posting, I'm all for it. I'll give them anything they want if they allow honest posting. If they don't permit honest posting, I'm not interested. So, but at one point, he just sort of exploded, and he said, "Rob, we just don't believe it's possible to time the market." You know, that's what this is about. We just don't believe it's possible to time the market. So shut the F up. I think that's what he said. He's angry. He's angry. Because I said it's possible to time the market. Now that's what Barefoot Jen is getting at here. She's not saying, you know, obscenities. She's not angry like Drip Guy. She's calm. She's friendly. You know, she's civil. But she's toy. You know, her mind is toying with the idea. The timing might work, and these two posts, they weren't very far apart. You know, they were probably within an hour of each other. And in one, she says she's been hit by what happened with Taylor Larimore. Taylor Larimore has abandoned passive investing, whether he acknowledges it or not. And Barefoot Jan is shaken up, and she says, "I'm going to try to get more into this market timing thing myself." That's a breakthrough for Barefoot Jan and for the entire community. If she does what she says, if she keeps like a dog after a bone, if she digs to the bottom, she's going to find out long-term market timing has always worked. Always. There's no possibility that there could ever be a time when it wouldn't work. Market timing must work. Long-term market timing. But then below, she's sort of flipping back. You know, it's sort of like she scared herself. She opened up her mind a little bit too much, and now she's withdrawing. And she says, "Seriously, though, despite what I said earlier, I don't believe you can predict what the market is going to do next." And then later below, she says, "I doubt I'd be able to do it based on predictions about the market. I just don't think you can really do that." This is our whole problem. This is the whole problem. This is why we've suffered a huge market crash. This is why our retirements are all at risk. This is why the old school safe withdrawal rate studies haven't been corrected for 7 years. This is why we are in danger of sending the U.S. economy into a depression, because there was academic research done in the 60s and 70s that showed that short-term timing doesn't work. Persuasive research. And all of the experts of the, not all, but most of the experts of the day concluded that trying to time the market is a disaster. And they've told us that in many books and articles and all this sort of thing. But they made a fatal, tragic error. They looked at research that showed that short-term timing doesn't work, and they concluded that timing doesn't work. I hope you see the difference. It's not true that timing doesn't work. Short-term timing doesn't work. Long-term timing works. And all of the data that was used to show short-term timing doesn't work, that same exact data shows that long-term timing does work. So if you're going to believe the first conclusion, that short-term timing doesn't work, you inevitably have to believe the second one, that long-term timing does. Many people say to me, I show them the data, I say, look, here's data going back to 1870, long-term timing has always worked, not one exception in the historical record, what do you say to that? And they say, oh, that data doesn't mean anything. You can't conclude anything from looking at 138 years of data. Come on, man. You need 1,000 years. Well, fine. If you believe you need 1,000 years, fine. Don't believe it. But if you don't believe it, you can't believe that short-term timing doesn't work either. That's logically inconsistent because it's the same 130 years of data that shows that short-term timing doesn't work. So if you're going to throw out the data, you've got to throw out the finding that short-term timing doesn't work. And sad to say, that seems to be where Barefoot Jan and I think a lot of others are headed today. Here's what's happening. Barefoot Jan says here, she says, so she rejects, she toys with the idea of opening her mind to timing, but then she sort of scares her and she pulls back from that. But there's a different kind of timing that she's okay with. And she says, I think the main reason, she's talking about timing, and she says, I think the main reason to protect yourself now is because the economy is a mess. I can understand protecting assets means timing the market. That's what she's talking about. She means doing what Taylor did, dropping down to a zero stock allocation. I can understand protecting assets / timing the market due to economic conditions. Absolutely. See, no problem. Timing the market, that's fine. That's what Barefoot Jan is saying. That's what Bill Bangin is saying. Bill Bangin is timing the market when he goes to a zero stock allocation because we've seen a stock crash. Taylor Larimore is timing the market. So what makes Taylor Larimore and Bill Bangin and Barefoot Jan different than Rob Bennett? Taylor hasn't been banned from any boards. Barefoot Jan hasn't been banned from any boards. Bill Bangin hasn't been banned from any boards. What makes them different? They're timers. I'm a timer. What's the difference? The difference is they are short-term timers. I'm a long-term timer. When you're timing the market because of economic conditions, where you think the economy is headed over the next year or two, that's short-term timing. That's short-term timing. The crazy thing here is that's the kind of timing that doesn't work. And that's John Bogle's message. It's not Rob Bennett that told you that short-term timing doesn't work. John Bogle told you that. John Bogle's been saying that for 30 years. Eugene Fama's been saying it for close to 50 years. Burton Malkiel's been saying it for 40 years. Bill Bernstein's been saying it for 10 years. You can't time the market. What they mean, if you look at the statements, you know, check it out. If you don't believe what Rob Bennett says on his podcast, please check it out for yourself. Look up timing. You know, ask Taylor Larimore. He'll help you. He's got a list of like 50 statements of people who say timing doesn't work. So check out the Taylor Larimore list. Start with statement one. Go on the internet. Find out where it comes from. And then go to statement two and so forth and so on. And what you will find is Every statement that Taylor Larimore's got deals with short-term timing. They don't always spell it out. They don't say short-term timing doesn't work. They just say timing doesn't work. But in every case, the reason why they say that is because there's data showing that short-term timing doesn't work. Short-term timing is timing the market because you think economic conditions are going to be bad over the next year or two or three. Doesn't work. Barefoot Jan has got the right idea. The walls are breaking down. She's saying, I need to consider some new ideas. Same thing, Taylor Larimore. Same thing, Bill Bangin. Same thing, John Bogle. They've all got the right idea. When you see that what you're doing doesn't work, you need to go back, re-examine your premises, try something else. They're all doing that. But they're changing the wrong thing. What they're saying is, maybe timing does work. Maybe I should engage in short-term timing. Well, why? Why would anyone believe that in this day and age when Eugene Fama and hundreds of researchers in the last 50 years have shown short-term timing doesn't work? Why would you then conclude that you need to go back to short-term timing? These people are call themselves bogleheads. John Bogle's primary message is that short-term timing doesn't work. If he said it once, he said it 10,000 times. Ignore the noise. That's what he means. Ignore all this gibberish about, I think the economy's going to pick up in the first quarter, and, oh no, the economy's going down. Retail sales are down. Well, I think the Fed's going to lower interest rates. Well, I think, God help us. This is the Tower of Babel. The advice given to people who are trying to engage in short-term timing is the Tower of Babel. It is nonsense. It's an insult to our intelligence to think that these people are offering valuable advice, in my opinion. It's this Tower of Babel that led me to John Bogle in the first place. I was trying to put together a plan for early retirement. It had to work. It's sort of important. I've got a wife and two children counting on me getting it right. So I went out. I started putting together some binders of information. I collected lots of material. I noticed after a certain amount of time that it was all the Tower of Babel. It was one guy giving a subjective opinion, followed by another guy giving the opposite, followed by a third guy giving another opposite, followed by a fourth guy giving another opposite, and it all led absolutely nowhere. Then, one lucky day, I happened to check out a book called Common Sense on Mutual Funds by John Bogle, and I found something that made sense, something that hung together. John Bogle didn't say, well, my opinion is the Fed is going to change the rates and the
unemployment rate, that's going to go down, and manufacturing inventory it's going to do a Z line up de down move, and that's going to change. Oh, God help us.
God help us. John Bogle didn't do that. That's why I say John Bogle is a hero of the first rank to the retire early and indexing discussion board communities. Because John Bogle saw through all the gibberish. No, he's not perfect. No, he didn't get everything right. But he got that much right, in my opinion. Bogle told us, ignore the noise, Jan, Barefoot Jan, please. When you're talking here about timing the market based on economic conditions, you're talking about noise. No one knows. There's 1,000 different factors that could affect the economy. No doubt, the economy, either the economy is going to start to get better or the economy is going to start to get worse, right? Or it's going to stay the same. Those are the three possibilities. Well, whichever one happens, there's 500 people who have predicted it. And all 500 are going to say, oh, I'm the smartest investment advisor. Give all your money to me now. I figured it out. I'm right. And there's going to be an emotional part of your mind that's going to say, yeah, this is how we get rich quick. We look for the people who guessed it right and we give them all our money. And maybe, who knows, they'll get it right the next time. Except the chances are they won't, because they don't have any idea what they're talking about. They've all got rational arguments. The arguments are fine, but what the arguments miss is that there are 50 different factors bearing in what happens in the economy, not one or two or three, and there's no way you can sort it all out. You don't know what's going to happen. So, Barefoot Jan is on the right track, but she's swallowing the wrong medicine here. She's telling us to ignore all the work of the past 50 years, all of this wonderful work, and go back. You know, I say on a lot of my podcasts, I say our state of understanding of investing is primitive today. I say nobody's an expert, including John Bogle, including Robert Shiller, obviously including Rob Bennett. Barefoot Jan is saying primitive isn't bad enough. Let's go back to prehistoric. Let's go back before. Forget about the fact that Eugene Fama got some things wrong and Bogle got some things wrong. Let's go back before Fama and Bogle. Let's not go ahead. Let's go backwards. Heaven help us all. Heaven help us all. Heaven help the blind man. The Stevie Wonder song from a long time ago. Heaven help the blind man. Heaven help the poor man. Heaven help us all. So, I say different. I say Eugene Fama got it wrong, but he got an awful lot right. And Burton Malkiel got some things wrong, but he got an awful lot right. And John Bogle got some things wrong, but he got an awful lot right. And Taylor Larimore got some things wrong, but he got an awful lot right. The answer is not to abandon all of Bogle's teachings, right down to the most basic one of all, not to engage in short-term timing. The answer is to understand that Bogle made a mistake. When he saw the research showing that short-term timing doesn't work, he jumped to a hasty conclusion that long-term timing also does not work, and that is wrong. Of course long-term timing works. Of course it does. How could it not work? What long-term timing is, it's saying the value proposition of stocks changes when the price changes. Well, duh. How could it possibly be otherwise? And since the value proposition changes, the rational thing to do is to change your stock allocation. Your stock allocation is the thing that you do that affects the results you obtain. It's how the individual investor has impact on his investing results. Everything else is out of your control. You can't control what the Fed does, or you know what the manufacturing starts are going to be, or you know what Obama's going to do, or the Congress is going to do. All this is out of your hands. But you can control your stock allocation. So set it right. Set it properly. And it can't possibly be right to leave it at the same level at all times, can it? If you set your stock allocation at a time of moderate prices, and prices are now insanely dangerous, the risk level's obviously a lot higher, right? The return's obviously a lot lower, right? So you've obviously got to change your stock allocation, right? You obviously don't want to be a passive investor, right? Is it some guy on the internet telling you that? Rob Bennett? I'm the one recording the podcast, but I'm not the one who came up with this idea. Guess who came up with this idea? His initials are J.B. St. Jack. John Bogle. John Bogle has a word for it. He calls it reversion, a phrase for it. He calls it reversion to the mean. You should listen to his speeches. You should go on the internet, put in John Bogle, you know, Google, put in John Bogle speeches, and there's a website that has a whole bunch of them. And read about reversion to the mean, if you don't believe what I'm telling you. But the name itself tells the tale. What do you think it means, reversion to the mean? What John Bogle says is, whenever stocks become overvalued, they revert to the mean. When stock prices get too high, they crash. He calls it an iron law of investing. There aren't many iron laws, but reversion to the mean is one of them. And of course, it works the other way. When prices get absurdly low, they revert to the mean, which means they go up. So anybody who tells you, oh, I didn't think we were going to have a price crash, I'm so surprised, doesn't know what they're talking about. They don't understand the ABCs of stock investing. If you read a book by John Bogle, and if you're going to claim to be an expert, it seems to me you should have, then you know that reversion to the mean is an iron law of stock investing. That when prices get too high, they revert to the mean. Well, that's what just happened over the past 15 months. Prices were insanely high, double fair value, they reverted to the mean. We're now at a PE10 level of 15. That's fair value. We're at the mean, like we're supposed to be. No surprise. No shock. No unfathomable stock crash. I saw one of these, you know, year-end summary articles, and they said, oh, we experienced an unfathomable stock crash. Yeah, it's unfathomable. So unfathomable that every other time in history, when we went to insane price levels, the same thing happened. That's why it's unfathomable. Nobody could figure out it was coming. Because it's happened every single time without any exceptions in the record. It's unfathomable. That's why Robert Shiller talked about it in a book he published in March of 2000. That's why Michael Alexander talked about it in a book, Stock Cycles, that he published. I'm not sure exactly when he published it. I think that might have been 2000 as well. That's why Bill Bernstein talked about it in a book he published in April of 2002. That's why I've been talking about it on the internet since May of 2002. That's why John Walter Russell has an entire website of research based on this concept. Because nobody could understand it. Nobody could fathom it. It's beyond our intelligence. Human beings can't understand stocks. We can't know when a price crash is coming. Not unless we spend 10 or 15 minutes looking at the historical data. Then we could, of course. If we thought it was worth it to save our economy from going into a depression, we might break down and spend 15 minutes, and then we would know. I don't know if I apologize for getting worked up or not. I think, you know, to some extent I do. To some extent I think it's appropriate and right. Somebody has to get worked up. If Barefoot Jan's going to get the answers to her questions. I can't speak to her. I'd like to answer Barefoot Jan right on Vanguard Diehards where she posts, but I can't. Because Mel Lindauer, he couldn't take 15 minutes to look at the historical data. I don't want to see us go backwards. John Bogle took us out of the dark ages and started us on the right track. Yes, he made a mistake. You know, hang the guy from a tree, for God's sake. He made a mistake. Can we just get over it? Reversion to the mean is a reality. It's the most basic reality of investing there is. Reversion to the mean tells us passive investing can never work in the real world. Never, ever, 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 ever. What happens inevitably when large numbers of people are persuaded of the passive emotional approach is that prices go out of control because nobody is trying to sell. The only way prices are self-regulating so long as people understand the realities of stock investing. If people understand that the value proposition is going down, 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 they sell their shares and that pulls prices down. Prices are self-regulating. But the self-regulation mechanism gets broken when experts start telling us that timing is impossible. Timing is impossible. God help us. To time the market it's like driving a car. It's like applying the brake. That's what timing is. Timing is selling your stocks when prices reach insane levels. It's like telling somebody driving a car on the highway, braking doesn't work. How the heck can you send somebody out to drive a car and tell them braking doesn't work? Without braking, you're going to get yourself killed. So we're now in the process of getting ourselves killed. And because we've had it driven into our brains that timing doesn't work, instead of moving forward to the next stage in the Bogle revolution, which is we acknowledge that he's right, that short-term timing doesn't work, but also that he's wrong, that long-term timing does work. Instead of moving forward, we're moving backward to the dark ages. We're going to start pretending that short-term timing works again. I hope that's not where we're going. There was another post on the same general theme It was at the Income and Dividend Investing Board, and there's a thread there started by my friend Russ Serchnitz. He says, Rob has been vindicated. Rob has been vindicated. The Vanguard diehards banned him because, Rob told us that the timing works, and now, the lead guy trying to get him banned acknowledges that he's going to time the market. Passive investing doesn't work. And Rob's been vindicated. And there's a fellow there, Bill Perk, who put up a post saying, no, Rob hasn't been vindicated. They weren't upset that Rob said valuations matter. They were upset that he gave them a tool. He gave them the PE10 tool. And Bogle says that valuations matter. Nothing wrong with that. But Rob did something, terrible. He gave them a tool to show how much valuations matter. Gave them the PE10 tool. So it wasn't just a case of saying valuations matter. It was a case of giving practical advice that people could actually use to protect their portfolios. Now, I'm being sarcastic here. Bill Perk didn't say all that. But what he really did say is they weren't mad at Rob for pointing out that valuations matter. They were mad because he mentioned PE10. Well, is that insane or not? How the heck can you take advantage of the insight that valuations matter if you don't have a tool for assessing valuations? That's what PE10 is. That's what it's for. I didn't come up with PE10. I'm a guy who read Bogle's book, learned that valuations affect long-term returns, learned about reversion to the mean, and realized that there was no way on God's green earth that these old-school safe withdrawal rate studies could be accurate, since they don't include a valuation adjustment. So I told people about it at my discussion board, and hundreds of people were thrilled. They thought it was the best discussion we've ever had. And a guy who had authored one of the old school studies went freaking nuts and burned the board to the ground. And then we started other boards. Those of us who wanted to still discuss early retirement, we started other boards. And then he sent his goons over to burn those to the ground. And finally, we ended up on the Vanguard Diehards board, and he sent his goons over to burn that one to the ground. And Mel Lindauer, the co-author of The Boglehead's Guide to Investing, said, "Hey, man, good work. Send more of your people over here. We don't have enough abusive posting at this board. Let's burn this one to the ground." And they did that. And now Bill Perk is saying, the whole problem is that instead of talking in vague generalities that valuations matter, which Bogle does, I gave people a tool for actually making use of that insight, which is the most important investing insight there is. It's the ABCs of investing, is how much do you change your stock allocation in response to price changes? That's what stock investing is all about. That's the whole point of investing analysis. How much should you change your allocation in response to price changes? There is no question of should you change it or not. That question is insane. And that's what the so-called Vanguard diehards were saying, that you don't need to change your allocation. That's what Taylor Larimore was saying in the days before he advocated bailing out of stocks entirely. In the old days, he was saying you don't need to change your allocation. But you do. And of course, if you're going to do it, you've got to have a tool, don't you? You've got to have some sort of guide to, you know, you can't just say, I have a funny feeling that stocks are overvalued today. I think I'll change my stock allocation. Well, you're right back to the subjectivity I was talking about before. What are your feelings based on? How do you know they're right? PE10 tells you what you need to know. Whenever PE10 is above 20, you're in the red alert danger zone. Whenever PE10 is above 25, you're in the insane price zone. So you've got to change your allocation, man. That's what I brought to the discussion. And I believe anything I say is obviously my opinion. That's true of me, and it's true of Bill Perk, and it's true of Mel Lindauer, and it's true of Taylor Larimore, and it's true of Barefoot Jan, and it's true of John Bogle. We all just give our opinions. We look at things, we come at this from different sets of life experiences, and we do the best we can to figure it out, and we share our thoughts. My strong belief is that short-term timing doesn't work, so I am frightened when I hear somebody like Barefoot Jan, who is a person after my own heart. She's a digger. She wants to know the truth. She's not going to give up until she figures it out. The thought that we would go back to the pre-Bogle era is I want to say it's so profoundly dumb, it makes me sick. I don't want to insult Barefoot Jan, but I don't like that idea. Okay? I don't like that idea. I hope that we go the other route. The answer now is, you know, it's sort of like our community was a young person. You know, we're adolescents and we're trying to figure out our way in the world. We're trying to figure out, what are we going to be all about? What's our place in the world? What are we going to be? What's our, you know, what are we going to do? Who are we going to marry? All this sort of thing. And we've suffered a setback, a surprise. We weren't expecting. You know, we did something wrong. Maybe we got drunk and went out driving. You know, and now we're in the hospital. And we're scared. And what Barefoot Jan is saying, and what Taylor Larimore is saying, and apparently what John Bogle is saying is, let's curl up in a ball in the fetal position and go back to our babyhood. Pretend that we don't know that short-term timing doesn't work, that timing based on economic conditions doesn't work. You know, goo goo gaga, I feel safe again. My mommy take care of me. My mommy love me. Mommy take care of me. God. Our mommies aren't going to take care of us. Our mommies are not going to protect our retirement accounts. We've got to be big boys and big girls. We will get out of the hospital. We will heal from this. But when we heal, we've got to grow up. We've got to accept that the reason we got in a car crash is because we drove drunk. And we've got to tell these people that were advising us to drive drunk to stop it. That they're hurting people. And then we've all got to invite everybody in the community that has something to offer to share what they have to offer. In a spirit of respect and affection for all of one's fellow community members. Respect and affection doesn't mean that you say everything Taylor Larimore has ever said is right. That's not respect and affection. That's, you know, that's something sick. That's fawning. That's setting him up as some kind of guru. That's babyfied. But yes, we should certainly treat him with the respect and affection he has earned by his years of service to the community. Yes, to that. But when he gets something wrong, he needs to fix it. Because if we respect the man, we hold him up to certain standards. And one of those standards is, if you get something wrong in your investing advice, you fix it. If you don't know what the answer is, you just say, I don't know, man. You know, what I've been saying surely doesn't work. I get that much, but I don't know what the answer is. And Barefoot Jan, that's pretty much what she's saying. She's saying, well, I'm thinking timing might work. You know, I've got to study it some more. I've always blocked it out before. I've got to start listening. But, you know, she's saying long-term timing, I don't know. That gives me the creeps, but I don't know why, but just something about it. But short-term timing, maybe I'm open to it. Well, Barefoot John is wrong, in my opinion, but at least, you know, she's sort of throwing things out there. She's opening her mind a little bit. Now, she makes a point at the end, and then I'll close up, but she makes a point at the end where she says, even the warnings only tell you what. They don't tell you when. Well, bingo. Bingo. She's pointed out the thing about long-term timing that people sure don't like. I don't think it's such a big deal, but she's put her finger on the thing that people hate about it. Long-term timing does not tell you when. The PE10 level does not tell you when the price crash is coming. Does not. I could tell you in 1995 the price crash was coming, but it didn't come until 2008. If you can't deal with that it might take 10 years, in this case a little more than 10 years, although, you know, the price crash began in January of 2000. You know, it didn't reach its crescendo until the last 15 months. But stocks have been performing poorly for 10 years now. So prices started to fall 5 years after we reached the insanely high price levels. So, you know, describe it how you like, whether it took 5 years or 13 years. I don't care. The underlying thought is the same. Barefoot Jan is 100% correct. PE10 will tell you when a price crash is coming, but it will not tell you when. It will not tell you when. It will tell you that a price crash is coming. It will not tell you when. Either you can deal with that or you can't. If you can deal with it, you will get far higher returns at far less risk. You'll be able to retire many years earlier than you otherwise would have been. You'll achieve financial freedom many years sooner than if you follow a passive investing model. That I can tell you. That the historical data backs up all down the line. Common sense also backs it up all down the line. And we have the testimony of some of the smartest investing advisors in the world that favor the principles on which that idea is based. So I'm confident that it all works. I'm confident we know the answer to our problems. The answer to our problems is reversion to the mean and understanding it and what it means. And reversion to the mean ain't a Rob Bennett concept, it's a John Bogle concept. I'm a reporter, like I said before, you know, many times. I report what investment experts say. I'm not an investment expert myself. I'm a reporter of investing experts. The only thing that makes me unique is when an investing expert talks gibberish, I don't report the gibberish, you know, or I report that it is gibberish. So what I've done, it's the only contribution I've ever made, is I read John Bogle and I said, bam, genius point, bam, genius point, bam, genius point, bam, genius point. And I incorporated all those things into my model. And then I said, passive investing, huh? How could passive investing work if there's reversion to the mean, which is one of the genius points? You know, kick that out. Black. What do I replace it with? Well, how about the historical data? How about the history of how stocks have always performed in the past? That sounds good. John Walter Russell, can you help me understand the historical data, please? I don't have the skills, the statistical skills needed to do this work. Can you help? And I find this guy, you know, who's, I think it'd be fair to say, God's gift to the retire early and indexing communities. And he does the work, and I go, bam, genius point. Now I've got all genius points, none of the errors. Now it works. That's valuation-informed indexing. That's rational investing. That's long-term timing, not short-term timing. But if you can't stand it, that you're not going to be able to guess where stocks are going in the next 6 months, you're listening to the wrong guy. Because I am a long-term investor, not a short-term investor. That's what bogleheads are supposed to be. You see? I'm the boglehead, not Taylor Larimore. Taylor Larimore believes he's a boglehead. He believes it with his heart, mind, and soul. I have no doubt whatsoever. But anyone who says you should bail out of stocks entirely, you know, after a price crash, is not a boglehead, in my opinion. And I don't care if John Bogle himself says it, and Taylor's got a quote from him where he says it. Well, John Bogle's not a boglehead if he says that. In Rob Bennett's opinion, it's crazy as crazy can be, but that's where we are. January of 2009, that's where we are. Reversion to the mean is right. Bogle got it right. Passive investing is wrong. Bogle got the one thing right and the other thing wrong. And the road forward is acknowledging what he got wrong so that we can appreciate what he got right. Bogle's ideas work if you just take out the passive investing element. That's the thing that caused this price crash, recession, depression with a question mark. All of that was caused by passive investing. Give up passive investing and we're on the road back. Give up passive investing and long-term timing becomes long-term investing becomes possible again. Buy and hold becomes possible. Stay the course becomes possible. All these things work if only you're willing to look at valuations and the extent to which they affect long-term returns. And of course, you have to have P10 to do that, Bill Perk. You can't do it without some kind of tool. It doesn't have to be P10, but it has to be some valid valuation assessment tool. And P10, in our research, that's the one that seems to work best. So that's the one we're going with for now. That's where we stand. I hope Barefoot Jan is listening in. If she is, I hope she'll let me know. Send me an email. Let me know what you thought, Barefoot. And, you know, if you have any further questions, address them to me or put them on a discussion board, one of the ones I read, and hopefully I'll see them. And I'll help where I can. And if there's anyone out there who knows Barefoot Jan, I hope you will pass this along to her. And if there's anyone out there having questions, you know, along the lines of those that Barefoot Jan is trying to struggle with today, I hope that this helped you. And I hope that Barefoot Jan, the digger, you know, the truth seeker, is satisfied that she's ran into a fellow digger. Another guy with a bone, you know, a stubborn kind of fellow who just won't give up on a question until he's able to make sense out of it. And making sense out of this investing stuff has not been easy. It's on one level, it's very easy. Intellectually, it's not at all complicated. It all, you know, all the pieces fit. We know all that we need to know to become effective investors today. But there's a lot of craziness out there. And if you let that stuff, trap you, you will drive yourself nuts. And I think that's what's happening to Barefoot Jan. She's going a little nuts. She's spinning from one thing to another. She's thinking timing doesn't work. Then she's thinking, maybe I should consider timing. And then she says, well, only short-term timing, not long-term timing. And now this Rob Bennett guy's going to tell her, well, that's not what Bogle says. Bogle says long-term timing, not short-term timing. So she's spinning all around. But if she keeps digging, she'll get to the right place. I'll wrap up with this, but back in my law school days, I used to write songs, you know, and I wrote a song. It was just the lyric that I liked, and it said, "It's a big world out there, and there's nothing that you couldn't do. Just don't let any small ideas get a hold of you. And that's the idea that timing doesn't work is a small idea. It's an idea that comes from the dark side of human consciousness. It's an idea that is the get-rich-quick impulse. Where that idea comes from is a desire to be able to overinvest in stocks at times when they're very, very dangerous. And so we concoct these rationalizations. That's what passive investing is. 100% rationalization. No intellectual content whatsoever, as far as I can tell. 100% rationalization. And I want to keep, you know, the rationalization stuff is dark stuff. I want to put that behind us. But, you know, the good stuff, using historical data to learn how stock investing works, that's the legacy of Burton Malkiel and Eugene Fama and John Bogle and all these others. And I want to see us work to restore that legacy, not to dismiss it and go back to the pre-Bogle era, the prehistoric era of stock investing. I want to see us move forward. And that takes a little bit of courage, and it takes a little bit of heart, and not too much brain power, but a little bit of courage and heart, and a little bit of moxie, you know, a little bit of what Barefoot Jan's got, the desire to dig a little bit and not give up until you find answers that make sense. Our community has found the answers. We've worked it hard. We've discovered the answers, good answers. And now we just need to get over this very human problem of some people feeling that they cannot admit they got some things wrong. And when that is solved, it all just floods in. Good stuff, more good stuff, more good stuff. So let's all do what we can. I think we've seen a breakthrough with Taylor's post the other day, and that may be the beginning of a movement in the right direction. So let's all work to respond positively to that, to encourage the passive investing dogmatist in the direction in which they seem to be moving, and to answer the questions of people like Barefoot Jen, and to restore John Bogle's, you know, legacy, and to make the point that reversion to the mean is the answer, not short-term timing. We need to go forward, not backward. Good luck with your investing strategies. You take care.